Well, good to see you. We're going to, everybody loves stories. You know, we go to movies and we buy books and because we love stories and there's something about a story that grips us and we like it and it's engaging and it stirs our imagination. And there's a story, lots of stories in the Bible. You know, you read the Bible and there's all kinds of different things in there, but there's stories and there are storylines that kind of carry through the whole thing. And what we're going to do here, starting today and for just a very short series, we're gonna tell the very end of a much larger, much longer story. And what we're going to do is talk about Holy Week, which is just, that's the term that has been given to the last week of Jesus' life on earth, when he came to Jerusalem on the first day of the week, on a Sunday. He was there all week long. At the end of that week, he was crucified, and then he rose again from the dead. And that's the end of a much larger story. And we're going to take just three times, today, on Friday, and next Sunday, and we're going to tell the end of that story. Now, this story, the Easter story, it begins at creation, but Jesus's part here on earth begins with a Christmas story, and last December, we told that story. We told the story of how God came into the world, and at Christmas time, Jesus is called Emmanuel. Jesus had many, many names, and all those names meant something. But at Christmas, that's the only time when we're talking about Jesus coming into the world where that name for him is used, Emmanuel. And it means God with us. And the whole point of that story, the Christmas story, is that's the point in our history where God himself stepped into time and space and history. God created all of this, and the Creator became and lived with the created beings. That's you and I, and it's an amazing thing. And we talked about that at Christmas, how Jesus walked with us. God wanted to be with us. God with us. He came to be with us. That's crazy. But that's the twist in that story. That's the twist in our history, that God created us, but he wanted to be with us so badly that he came to be with us. But that's not the end of the story. Because if that was the end of the story, if God coming and taking on a body like ours and living among us was it, then it's kind of like a visit, right? It's kind of like a visit where God came and he was here for a while and then he left and he was gone. My kids are older now. And they don't live in my house anymore. And they come and visit. And it's wonderful. But it's not the same as having them live with me. And God wanted more from us. God wanted more with us than just a visit. And so the story didn't end there at Christmas time. Because God came not just to visit us, but to open up eternity for us. Because God's desire always was for you and I to be with him intimately, close, face to face, forever. And so when Jesus came, he came to be with us, but it was more than just a visit. He came here on a mission. And Jesus' life was very much a mission. And he was here for a very specific, very intentional, and very, very momentous purpose. And that mission culminates with the Easter story. What we're going to talk about today and Friday and Sunday is the culmination of that story that began when Jesus came to be with us at Christmas. We're going to talk about that mission. And today we're going to talk about Palm Sunday. This is Palm Sunday. This is the day when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. We're going to pick it up again on Friday at the Good Friday service when we talk about Jesus' crucifixion. And then we'll finish it a week from today on Easter when we talk about his resurrection. So that's what we're going to do here for the next week. But as we get into it here, I think it's good to remind ourselves of something. You know, we all love stories, but we particularly like stories where we're part of it. I love to tell stories, and I really like to tell stories about myself. And I think all of us are like that. When we're part of the story, it adds something to it, doesn't it? When we're hearing a story about, when I watch Braveheart and I see the story of William Wallace, I want to be there on the horse, charging. When you watch a story, when you watch, maybe for you, if gals, Little Women, all of us have different stories that we just want to be a part of. You and I, folks, listen, you and I are central to this story that we're talking about. We are central to it. And the reason is this. The whole reason Jesus came, the whole reason he came at Christmas, the whole reason he stayed here and lived his life on mission, the whole reason he finished out this Holy Week and did what he did is because you and I have a huge place in his heart, and he desires you and I to be with him forever. We are central to this story. So as I tell this story today, as we begin with this last chapter of Jesus' life, remember something. This whole story unfolds because you and I have a part in it. You and I are at the center of this story in Jesus' heart and mind. All right, so today we're going to start with Palm Sunday. And when I was a little kid in Sunday school, you remember the story of Palm Sunday? I'm just going to read it here. It's not very long. And this is the time when Jesus came to Jerusalem. Now, he had been to Jerusalem before. This isn't the first time he was at Jerusalem. He'd been there many times before. But this is the culmination of his life, and he's coming to Jerusalem to finish really his mission. So I'm just going to read here, and there are different accounts of Good Friday and Easter and the crucifixion. I'm going to go back and forth a little bit today as we walk through this, but I'm going to read the story or the account of Jesus coming into Jerusalem from Luke. I don't have this on the screen, so you can just listen. This is Luke 19. Let's start with verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. As you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," Jesus replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." So here we see Jesus coming to Jerusalem for that last time to finish his mission. And we're just going to look at a couple of things here today about that, and about him coming as we're leading up to Friday when Jesus is crucified. And it's interesting that Jesus understood. He knew exactly what was happening. You know, we live our stories, our lives, not always sure of what's happening next. We can plan and we can be, you know, confident of some things that are going to happen next, but we're not always 100% sure. Jesus was sure. Because he was God, he had some vision into the future that you and I didn't have, and so he knew exactly what was coming. And he'd been talking about it for a long time, and so he knew that he was coming to the point where his mission on earth, that momentous, that intentional mission, was going to come to fruition. It was going to end. He knew that it was happening. And in John, he talks about that, and he says an interesting thing. In John chapter 12, this is John's account of Jesus coming in on Good Friday. And in verse 27, he says an interesting thing. As he comes to Jerusalem, he says, "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour." Jesus knew coming in, that he was coming to Jerusalem to finish what he had started 30-some years ago. He was coming to Jerusalem to accomplish the mission. Now, when you're getting to the end of something, you know, you've been planning, you've been working to get something done. As you get close to the end, it's exciting, isn't it? I had a good buddy who's working on a bathroom. He started because he needed to replace some shelves in his bathroom. He took the shelves off and found some water. So then he took the wall off and found some rot. So then he took the floor off and found... His bathroom is gone now. He's starting over from the beginning. And homeowners know exactly what I'm talking about. But so he's been working and working and working and working. As you get closer and closer and closer to the end of it, it's exciting. Man, I am so close, and when I get done, it's going to be so wonderful. Jesus knew coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, I'm getting to the end of my mission. I've worked hard, and I'm getting to the end of it. And yet his thought was, my soul is troubled. And he's tempted to say, Father, God, take me away from this. Why? Why would he be troubled as he's getting to the end of what he has worked so hard for? Well, the reason he's troubled is because he knows what is going to be required of him to finish this mission. He knows what's coming in Hebrews chapter 12. It says this, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, to finish his mission, it was going to cost him something crazily painful. The cost of finishing this mission was immense and intense. And I don't know that you and I can understand exactly what that's like. I tried to think of what's an example that maybe we've gone through that would help us to understand what Jesus was feeling here. That he's looking ahead at everything he has been leading up to. In fact, if you go back and read in the Old Testament, God had been thinking about this story for centuries. That he was going to send his son, that Jesus, God himself, was going to come into the world and he was going to live his life for a specific purpose that was now coming to an end. And as Jesus looked at that specific purpose that God the Father had planned for centuries, he's questioning whether, I don't know if I can go through this. My heart, my soul is troubled. And I'm tempted to say, Lord, can I pass? And it's because of this, there was something to endure. There was shame and scorn. There was pain and agony in front of him. And I tried to think of something that would approximate it. And this is the best I could come up with. And this is a small picture of it. But it's this. I have three kids. And my oldest two are girls. And then the son. As a dad, you look at your kids and you think about their life, and you long for their life to go well. As a dad, your heart is tied to your kids. It just is. And from the time that they're little, you are thinking about what their life is going to look like. And if you could, as a dad and a mom, you know this, you would, and you do sacrifice so much for the benefit of your kids because you long for them to finish their life well. And you would almost give up so much of your own happiness and your own life to give it to your kids if you could. And so there's this hunger and this longing for your kids to do well. And part of that is just what their families are going to be and kind of how that's going to go. And so as your kids grow up and they begin to become adults, they begin to step into that life that you've been hungering for them and longing for them. Well, my oldest girl, who just happens to be here today, and it's really a coincidence. I know that they think I do this on purpose, that I talk about them when they're here. I don't. I had planned this before, or maybe subliminally I knew she was going to be here. But that's my sweet oldest girl there and her wonderful, marvelous husband. And they're going to very, very soon have my really fun grandson. And I'm excited about all of that. And there is such joy there. For me as a dad, to see her, I was watching them this morning. And I love to be around them. And I just watch them because they like each other so much. And they're so good together, Brock and Becca. And they're going to have a baby. And it's just fun to remember back when my wife and I were expecting and all the joy that comes into that. And so I'm watching these guys and I'm seeing them make decisions that just bless my heart, and I'm seeing the fulfillment of so much of what I've longed for my daughter. But I had to give her away before any of this happened. And as a dad, I mean, I really did. As a dad, you know what it's like to walk up the aisle and to give your girl to another man. And it's wonderful. And I did it with a full heart, and my full heart broke when I passed her on. And there was a joy that I had to walk through some pain and loss to get. That's a small picture, I think, of what Jesus did. There was a joy that he had to walk through some incredible pain and loss to get to. And when he looked at the pain and loss, when he just looked at that and he saw how agonizing and how horrible it was going to be, he wondered, can I do this? I'm troubled by what I see that I'm going to have to surrender. But I also see what's on the other side of it. So I will walk through the horrible, dark storm to get to the joy on the other side. And that's what Jesus did on that Palm Sunday. He was walking in knowing the horrible dark storm is right in front of me now. It's no longer a year away, 2 years away. It is right here. And this agony that I have known is coming is now here. And I'm looking at it and my heart is troubled. And I wonder if there's another way. A few days later, when that dark night, when that agony was just hours away from him, he cried out and he said, "Father, please, if there's any other way, do not. I'm afraid of this. I don't know what was going on in him, but he prayed, Lord, if there's any other way, I don't want to walk into this, but I will because I see what's on the other side." That's what Jesus came to. That's what was going through him on that Sunday when he rode that colt into Jerusalem. There is a wonderful, joyful, beautiful thing on the other side of this. But what's in front of it is agonizing, deathly, horrid. And I would rather not walk into it. And we have to ask, well, what was it? What was so horrible that was in front of him? He was coming to fulfill his mission, but it filled him with a secret dread. Why? What was that mission that he was coming to fulfill? Well, I'm going to read here in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 is a very famous book of the Bible, and it has one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16. And I'm going to read it here, but I'm going to read a few verses on either side of it as well. I'm going to start reading here in John chapter 3, verse 14. This is Jesus talking. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus' mission was to save the world from sin. And when we say the world, we don't mean the physical globe, the planet. We don't even mean humanity in general. I think what Jesus means is when he came to save the world, he came to save me, Rob Gerber. He knew me. He saw me. He knows me. He knows you. I believe you can, Jesus came to save you. From what? Well, from your sin. He came to save me from my sin. We talked about this at that first story at Christmas time. The reason God had to come visit us is because we had separated ourselves from God. God created you and me to see him face to face, to live with him in perfection. God created you and me to live in perfection with him face to face. That is just hard for us to imagine. I can't even imagine what perfection is because none of us live in it. None of us have perfection. Maybe not in anything. And yet that is what God lives in. And that's where you and I were created to be, with him in perfection. To be with him, to let him be our father, to let him be our king, to let him be our friend, our lover, to be close to him, intimate with him, see him face to face, just like a child and that child's mother or father, just like two good lifelong friends. That's what God intended for you and I. But he gave you and I a choice to accept it or reject it, and we rejected it. Everyone. That's what sin is. We think of sin as I'm doing the wrong thing, and it is. That's part of it. But I think what doing the wrong thing, making those wrong choices, what that stems from ultimately is I rejected God. When God said, no, this is, if you follow me, if you're close to me, I'll take care of you. We said, no, I can do it myself. And we turned our back on God. And sin is turning your back on God, rejecting God as your king, as your friend, as your brother and sister. It's rejecting all the things that God wants to be for you, and you say, no, I'll get that stuff somewhere else. And what that turns into is all those horrible, ugly choices that you and I make all the time. And every single person in the world has sinned. And God says, all right, I'm going to give you that choice. If you take that choice to be separated from me, we can't have it both ways. And you can't be separated just a little. If you're not going to be with me, I will let you go. But then you're separated. And we don't see God face to face because we are sinful men and women. And the horror of that is horrible enough, but the greater horror of that is that if we die in that condition, I believe we will spend eternity in that condition, separated from God for all of eternity. But God so loved you that he didn't want to leave you to your fate. So he sent his Son. That's why Jesus came. That's why Emmanuel, God came to be with us. But it's more than just that visit. You see, God's intention was for you to be with him eternally, and he still longs for that. And so Jesus came, his great momentous decision, his great momentous mission was to open eternity back up for you and I. Eternity close to God, the way God intended it at the beginning. Seeing God face to face again. Not being driven by these sins, to have our sins paid for, to be brought back into a right relationship with God. That's what Jesus' mission was, not to condemn the world. He could have done that. He could have come and said, look, you guys are in this situation and it's your fault, and he would have been right. That would have been true. And he could have come to say, I'm going to give you a picture of what you could have had, and that would have been no more than we deserved. And then he could have left and left us in that spot, but he didn't. Why? Well, because he loves you. He longs for you. I have a very, very good friend who is loving his children well, though they give him all kinds of reasons not to. Your Heavenly Father loves you well, though you give him many reasons not to. He loves you so well that he said, I do not want to be separated from them. So I'm going to send Jesus. I'm going to come. God himself came to open eternity. That was his mission. But the reason I think that Jesus was so troubled by it was how that mission had to be accomplished. Because it says in the Bible that the wages of sin is death. And if Jesus was going to do something for us, if Jesus was going to solve our greatest problem, he had to deal with this issue of death. Because what I've earned because of my sin is death. Physical death, I'm going to die. That is a given. But a spiritual death is separation from God for all of eternity. And Jesus had to deal with our sin, and he had to deal with this issue of death. And so what his mission was, the way he was going to accomplish that mission of opening up heaven for us again, opening up a relationship with God for us again, the way he was going to do that was to take death for us. And we're going to talk about that on Friday. And we're going to talk about the way that that death unfolded. And I would strongly, strongly encourage you, if you can't be here on Friday, listen to it online. Because it helps us, I think, to understand when we talk about that death, and we'll do that on Friday. But Jesus understood this coming forever. He knew that he was going to come to Jerusalem and he was going to die. In Luke chapter 9, verse 22, Jesus said this again and again and again and again and again. He kept telling the people around him in the days and months and even years leading up to this point. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. He must be killed. You see, Jesus came, that the culmination of his mission, the way it was going to happen, the way Jesus was going to solve the death problem for you and for me, he said, I'll die for them. I will take that death for them. I will pay their penalty. There's all kinds of words that you might hear if you go to church that sometimes we don't know what they mean. One of them is atonement. It's a word called atonement. And well, what is that? We don't use that word a whole lot. But in basic terms, what it means is this, that you have been estranged from God by your own. Something has happened and you are estranged from God. And atonement is, I'm going to do something to make up for that. I'm going to, what is separating you, the tension between you, I'm going to take an action to atone for that, to make up for that, to fix that problem. That's a very rough definition, but in basic terms, that's what atonement means. And Jesus came to atone for our sins. And what the atonement was to make our relationship with God right again. It wasn't just a legal thing. You know, you can be, if my kids, if my son breaks the law and he does something horrible, and he has now a huge, huge fine in front of him, I can go as a father and I can pay that fine so that he doesn't have to spend time in jail. I can do that. And that's a good thing. But what if I paid his fine and said, well, that's it, son. I've paid your fine. You've gotten your inheritance. You have taken our name through the mud. I'll get you out of jail, but that's it. Now I'm going to stay distant from you, and you need to stay distant from me. Well, that would be just. I would have fulfilled justice, but I would have broken relationship. Jesus did not come just to fulfill justice. He came to restore relationship. And so when he died, it wasn't just, I'm going to get you out of jail. I'm going to get you out of jail, and I'm going to bring you home. I'm going to bring you home. I'm going to open up eternity. But to do that, Jesus said he had to die. This is a verse in Hebrews that is sometimes hard for us to understand, particularly in our culture. This was less hard to understand probably in cultures years ago, but this is a spiritual truth that God lays out for us, and that Jesus and God understood, and that informed and motivated Jesus coming to die for us. It's in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. It says this: in fact, the law, that's God's law, requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And we don't like that. Why should there be shedding of blood? Isn't that over the top? Isn't that barbaric? Well, the reason we think that, I believe, and we're going to get into this on Friday, the reason we think that is we minimize our own sin. We look at our sin and think, that ain't so bad. What did I do that's so wrong? And in our, be it ignorance or foolishness or pride, or we look at our sin and think, it's not so bad, God. It is so bad. Because we have violated the very thing that we were created to be, and that is God's. And we have looked at our Creator, who loves us perfectly, and we have said, I'll do it myself. And we don't think that, but that's exactly what it is. And we have rebelled against the King, and the wages of sin, it says in the Bible, is death. And Jesus knew this. He knew it. When he came here to make atonement for us, when he came here with this momentous mission to solve our greatest problem, he knew that the only way it was going to happen was if blood was shed. And he said, shed mine. I think that's one of the big reasons God came and took a body. He took a physical body like yours and mine. And he lived a perfect life so that he had a body and a life and blood that he could offer for ours. And that's what he did. That's what he did. And so, after 3 years of public ministry, after 30 or 33, somewhere in there, years of life on this earth, God himself headed to Jerusalem. I like this verse in Luke 9, verse 51. Jesus was, he's the kind of guy, I think, that if we would have known him, I would have liked him. I think all of us would have. But we all would have liked him for different reasons. This is one of the reasons I think I would have liked him. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. There's something in front of me, and I'm going to finish my job. I'm going to finish. Father, you are all to me, and these people, I love them. And so there's something that needs to get done. You've asked me to do it, and for their sake, I will do it. I'm going to Jerusalem. And so he headed toward his enemies. He resolutely said, there in Jerusalem, that's the hotbed of opposition to me. That's where my greatest enemies are. That's where the men and women are that most want me dead. So I'm going there. I'm going there. And the people around him said, don't go there. Don't go there. Why are you going there? In fact, they were so sure that Jesus was going to die that just before this, Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem. And Thomas, one of his disciples, said, "Don't." The last time you were there, they tried to stone you. Jesus said, I'm going. And this is why. He knew that's where he needed to be. And so he left, and Thomas looked at the other guys as Jesus is walking away, said, well, let's go and die with him. They expected, they knew, Jesus knew he was heading to Jerusalem to die. Resolutely, he set out. And he went to Jerusalem, I think, probably many reasons, but I think there's a symbolism there. You see, Jerusalem at that time was the center of God's interaction with humans. Up to that time, God had worked in human history primarily through the Jews. And the temple worship was what God had set up for people to interact with him. And that was the center of God's communion, God's interaction with us, was Jerusalem and the temple. And Jesus went there to open up a new way for God to interact, open up a new way for you and I to see him, to feel him, to know him. So he went there where God had worked to do something totally new, to change the system. And so we leave with this in John 12, 15. The end of this, we read this earlier, this verse, John 12, 15. And we're going to end with this today. On Palm Sunday, do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming. Behold, your king is coming. I like that. Your king is coming. And as we get into the end of this story of Jesus' life on earth, this last chapter starts with this. The king is coming. The king is coming to fulfill his specific, intentional mission that you are the center of. He's the hero, and we're at the center of it. And the king is coming. And he's coming for a specific reason, and he's coming to fulfill prophecies from centuries ago, and he is coming to fulfill God's heart, your Creator's heart, for you. And it's going to happen in the next week in Jerusalem. On Friday, we're going to pick up the story with the part that Jesus said, "This troubles my soul." And then on Sunday, we'll finish it with the part of the story that was the joy set before him. So I'd encourage you to be here, either in person or online, for the rest of this story. Let's pray. Lord, I'm just thankful, Jesus. I'm thankful for you. I'm grateful, Jesus, that you so loved us that you came to this earth to be with us, but not for a short time, for all of eternity. And I pray that this story would resonate with us, Lord, that we would not forget that this all played out for our benefit, and that whatever you want to say to us, Lord, as we talk about this story, I pray we would hear it and that we would know what's coming from you, Lord, and we would talk to you about it, and that you would speak to each one of us and help us to understand what part we play in this, where we are in this whole thing. Because I believe, Lord, that's ultimately what this is all about, is you long to be with us and you long for us to be with you. So I pray for each one of us would look to you and listen to you and talk to you and interact with you and understand where we are and what's next. I ask you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.